As Drew said, we are about to, you know, coming to an end of this series in the book of Philippians, Journey of Joy. And I hope that you have been, you know, enjoying God's joy and being able to appropriate God's joy in your journey daily. And for me, this series of messages really challenging me and help me to rethink about this tremendous weapon that we have, you know, which is the joy of the Lord that make us strong. The joy of the Lord, it's our strength. So I hope you are enjoying. It's too bad we are coming to an end, but we'll never end our need for the joy of the Lord in our lives daily. So we have been using this great, great booklet by Warren Wiersbe. I hope you are enjoying. We are using even more in the during the week in the Bible studies that we have at the Hillside. Maybe you are reading at home as well. It is great. And Warren Wiersbe, he offers this additional outline to the book of Philippians. And it makes so much sense, so much sense. He talks about the fact that chapter 1, when you read chapter 1 of Philippians, you see a person that has a single mind, right? When you read chapter 2, it talks about the submissive mind, a Christian, a person that has a submissive mind. Chapter 3, it talks about the spiritual mind. And chapter 4, which we are in right now, talks about the secure mind. And for me, it makes so much sense. I love this outline because it's a progression. It's a progression. Without the single mind, a mind that is focused on Christ in the gospel, without the submissive mind, which is a mind that is esteeming Christ and esteeming others more than self, without the spiritual mind, which is a mind that it's concerned with things above even more than with things on earth, we could never experience or have a secure mind, which is a mind overtaken by peace, by power, and by the provision of God. Last week, Drew talked about the fact that, you know, about the peace, verse 1 to 9. And I wanted to continue it in chapter 4. So we will see that a secure mind, it's a mind that it's overtaken by God's peace. That's verse 1 to 9. And if you were not here last week, go to our website and hear that message. It was great. So important for us to have the peace of God in our minds, in our hearts. And today I'm going to talk about God's power in our mind and God's provision. God's power from verse 10 to 13 and God's provision verse 14 to 23. Last week, Drew didn't have enough time. That portion of scripture was amazing, but he brought up this verse, Philippians 4:8, and I just want to bring up again because it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And I'll never forget Philippians 4:8, because Philippians 4:8 was the place when, you know, when I was first introduced to it, that I learned this concept that pretty much changed my life forever. And the concept was the concept of, like, thinking with God. Thinking with God. Normally speaking, right, we are thinking with our own selves. Normally speaking, we are thinking, you know, with, like, the people around us. We are thinking with the world, whatever the world is thinking. You know, in these days, we are thinking with the media that it's influenced us. And we kind of like, you know, we read things, we see things, and those things are like influencing, you know, our thoughts, our thinking. You know, there are some people that we love and follow, could be in the world of sports, could be, you know, my son Matthew is here. He likes UFC, and there are some guys there, tough guys there, that he likes and follow, right? So all of us, it's so easy for us to be influenced in our thinking with our own self and the people around us and what we see and what we hear. But to think that God, here in Philippians 4:8, he is saying, you know, I want you to think with me. Think with me. Thinking with God can make such a transformation in our lives. It can help us in the daily, you know, practicities of life as well, because you can discern, like, you know, I'm thinking about this, and I can discern, like, this is my own thoughts. It's not God's thoughts. And of course, you know, how we feed thinking with God is by opening up God's Word. And that's why, you know, Bible reading, Bible feeding is so important, because, you know, what we read in the Bible are God's thoughts. It's the letter of love that He left it for us. And when we read it, you know, we are presented with God's mind, God's heart, God's thought, and then we can align our lives with God's thoughts, and we can become people that are thinking with God. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, it can enhance our lives 1,000 times more. And that's why I'll never forget, and that's why I'm bringing up Philippians 4:8. Very, very thankful for learning Philippians 4:8. And I'm still like, you know, Lord, every single day, help me today to be thinking with you. Help me. And the reason why, it's because it's going to be very easy for me to be influenced by the things that I'm going to encounter during this day. It's very easy that I'm going to, you know, look at my phone and thoughts will come, and those thoughts are going to take over my mind and heart and emotions. So Lord, help me to be thinking with you. And God does that, and that is something beautiful. That is really important, because Proverbs 23:7, it says this: as man thinketh in his heart, so he is. We are the products of what is going on up here and here. We really are. So it is very, very important to be thinking with God, so that the product that we experience is what God had in store for us when He created each one of us. So this is part A for the message today. I hope it blesses you as it blessed me last week. Now, part B, all right? Part B, Philippians chapter 4, 10 to 20. And I would love to read this portion of scripture. Do you know what? It's like, I never felt bothered by just reading scripture in the service at all. I don't care about being long reading scripture, because I think scripture, you know, what God says in scripture, it is way more important than what I'm going to be saying. And everything that I'm going to be saying, you know, it better be based upon what God is saying. So I love, and Drew, same thing, we love just like, here is what the Word of God is saying. And if you don't get anything but this, we feel like, you know, we have done our job just to present God's Word, and it's beautiful. Philippians, pay attention to this. Philippians, Paul, in chapter 4 here, he's saying, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concern for me. Talking about the Philippians, the church in Philippi. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show you, to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things. I can do all this through Him who gives me the strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians now, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful, beautiful scripture here. And just to, you know, some of the things that kind of like jump out of the page here, you know, in verse 10, Paul is talking about like God's providence. It was God's providence that really caused this little church in Philippi to help him in his needs. The church in Philippi, they were concerned about Paul's needs. But because they were a small church and it seems like, you know, not a very affluent church, they didn't have a lot of opportunity to help him. And it's interesting that, you know, in today's world, in Christianity, many of us, we have the opportunities because God has given us, but we don't have the concern for the needs of God's kingdom like the church, little church in Philippi had. And that's amazing. You know, that speaks to me, like, do not miss the concern for God's kingdom and let God use, you know, the opportunities that He gives you and me to be a blessing to God and to the people of God in God's kingdom. So that is beautiful. God's providence through the church in Philippi was this amazing provision that brought great contentment to Paul, to his heart. And Paul here, he was not like complaining, you know, because he knew that his happiness didn't depend, his joy didn't depend on the circumstances or things. His joy came from something way deeper, way bigger, that was apart from either like poverty or, you know, prosperity. He said in verse 11 and 12 again, you know, he's like, I'm not saying this because I am in need or because I am complaining. You know, I'm saying this because I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. So Paul knew this secret of right living in good times and bad times. And it's a secret that it is very important for us to have as well, because all of us, we face good times and we also face bad times in our lives. And I don't know you specifically, but about me, you know, sometimes it's kind of like easy to seek God and depend on God when the bad times comes, because, you know, we run to him. But it's not so easy to seek God. We need a change of mic.
Yes, all right. I like the yellow better.
Yeah. You know, it's like Paul said, I know how to be abased. The New King James used this way of saying. And I know how to abound as well. And again, it's like sometimes when we are in the situation of being humiliated, you know, to abase, it's easier to like go running to the Lord because we can do nothing. But sometimes when God blesses us and bring prosperity to our lives, usually those are the hardest time, you know, for us as believers. And I have to say this, that, you know, for us living in this amazing country, the USA of America, it's amazing how God's grace, it has abounded so much. I mean, you know, you can look at your life, I can look at my life, and we can see how blessed we are and how, you know, in many, many ways we are provided for the things. Not that we don't have needs, we do. Here and there, you know, we do have needs, we all have needs, but we have been blessed. And, you know, being a steward of being blessed, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. Being a steward of the things that God has given us, it is a big deal. And God wants to teach us. What God doesn't want us to have is this attitude described in Revelation 3:17 that says this, you know, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. Can you imagine? This is, you know, a dangerous place to be, right? Where, you know, we think about ourselves like, you know, yes, I have everything and I don't have a need of anything. It is a lie, because we need the Lord every single day. We cannot take the next breath in our lives. Everything that you have and I have, we are borrowing from the Lord. Everything. There is nothing to boast but to say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. You gave me, you know, life. You gave me energy to wake up every day. You gave me an opportunity to study. You gave me a job. You gave me a family. You gave me a house. Everything that I have comes from you. And nothing, absolutely nothing that I have, you know, that I don't trace it to you and your goodness and your provision in my life. So, Lord, help me to never have this attitude that, you know, I don't need you in a very single day. Because I do. I do. Even with the prosperity and the blessings that he has given us, he wants us to be good steward of that. He wants us to know, just like Paul knew, how to abound. Because otherwise, our attitude will be this attitude here in Revelation. And it's an attitude, if you read there in Revelation, that makes God literally throw up. And I don't want to be that person that God is looking at and he's about to throw up. This is your Christianity. I'm about to throw up. Think about it. I don't want it. I don't want to be part of that church, that group of people. I don't want to be that person. That it's making God like wanted to, you know, he's not happy with. But instead, John 15:5, it says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. Each one of you, you are the branches. I am that vine. If you remain in me, you will bear fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. How many believe that, like, full-hearted? Apart from him, you can do nothing. And man, we need to use faith on this verse here, because, you know, for many, many years in my life, I could do a lot without the Lord. Oh, I could do a lot. But you know what? It counted for nothing without the Lord. And that's what it is. That's what it is. We We're all created for a plan. God has a plan for your life. You are not here just, you know, as like, God had a plan for you to be here. You know, he has a plan for your life. He wants to use you for his glory. And it's important to know God's plan. And it's important to be dependent on him every single day. That makes life way so much better. You know, sometimes apart from that, we started challenge ourselves and we started feeling like down or, you know, not understanding really what's going on. It's because I'm not living, you know, in God's plan for my life. God has a plan for each one of us, and he wants to show us how to live that plan better every single day. And if we ask him, he will guide us and he will direct us. And his plan, it's different from person to person, you know, and in the different facets that involved your life, but it doesn't change the fact that he still have a plan for each one of us. So Paul learned the secret of contentment. I love this definition of contentment here. That inward spiritual satisfaction rooted in trust that God is sovereign, that God is good, he is sufficient, and it's regardless of external circumstances. It's not a passive apathy, but it's an active surrender, often described as having enough or being satisfied with what one has because of reliance of God's provision and power rather than material abundance. You know, I read that and I go like, oh Lord, please be merciful to me. Help me to have contentment in you, Lord. Help me to have this mindset, this heart where my satisfaction, it's not on what is lacking in my life, what I'm missing, and it's not in all that I have, but it's in you. It is in you. It is in your plan. It is in the reliance of your provision and not the material things. So then Paul said in Philippians 4:13, a verse that it's well known all over the world, all over the world. Philippians 4:13, it says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And even, you know, Drew and I, we were talking about this verse, and he sent me a message how God, he was reading again, and God gave him this, you know, jump out of the page. And I'm quoting him, you know, Pastor Drew here. He said, you know, a lot of people wonder about this text. Does it really mean that through Christ I can do anything I desire? And again, if I'm thinking with myself, yeah, yeah. Does that scripture passage make me a superhero? And again, if I'm thinking with self or, you know, Kent Clark, you know, yes. But no, I don't think so. I think what Paul is saying here is that through Christ's strength, I can be content in any and every situation of life. To know that through Christ's power, there is no situation of life where we cannot find contentment. And this is an incredible blessing. Thank you, Drew, for sending me that. And I sign under. It's beautiful. Isn't it? That is what this verse is saying. You know, this verse, the power in this verse here, it's not me, it's not us. The power comes from the Lord. He is the one empowering us, and that empowerment, it's not necessarily, it can be, but it's not necessarily just to do whatever I want. It can be, if it's God's will, but it's a power to have victory over every facet of life. You know, and our Bible study that we do with the man on Wednesday night, we have a very, very special place for our brother that, you know, passed away, Jimmy. And we bring him up, you know, Jimmy, all the time. And Jimmy, if you know him, you know, in the very last days of his life, going through what he was going through and experiencing joy from the Lord. It was incredible. I have met, you know, many like people with that strong like trust in the Lord, but I'm telling you, like Jimmy, I haven't met one. And I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to meet Jimmy, because Jimmy was drawing power from the source that never ends, the Lord. And he was showing us, do you know what? It doesn't matter, you know, if you are going through the toughest time of your life, draw your power, your energy from the source that you will never, it will never end. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Contentment in the Lord. I love 1 Timothy 6:8. It says, but godliness with contentment, it is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and I need to be reminded of that. We brought nothing into this world, and guess what? We can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Contentment with the Lord. Worsby, he said, you know, that this verse, Philippians 4:13, it was Paul's motto. You know, his motto was, I can through Christ. And that should also be our motto, that we can through Jesus Christ. The J.B. Phillips translation put this verse like this: I'm ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. And the Living Bible says, I can do everything God asks me with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and the power. And Paul had that strength. Paul had that power to face life's demand. Right? To face life's, you know, whatever life's bring along the way. And that is available for each one of us as well, by faith in the Lord. And just to close, you know, back to the church in Philippi, that little amazing church that made this amazing spiritual investment in the life of Paul, and great dividends from heaven was given to them. Verse 14 to 17 said, yet it was good for you to share my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians now, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out to Macedonia, not one church made themselves available to help me, but you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you blessed me there. And I'm not desiring your gift. What I'm desiring is God keep adding to your life. He said, I am amply supplied now that I have received, you know, the gift that you sent to Epaphroditus. And that was a gift to me, a blessing to me. But guess what? To the Lord, that was a fragrant offering. That was an acceptable sacrifice. And that was pleasing to the God. See, the Philippians, you know, they gave materially to Paul, but they receive spiritually from the Lord. And that's the equation, you know, when we are available to God, you know, to help in whatever God's, the needs of God's kingdom. Yes, you know, we participate physically, but we gain way more, you know, spiritually. 1 Peter, I didn't put that in there, but it talks about that we, as part of our holy priesthood, we offer spiritual sacrifices that is accepted to God. And I want to finish with this last verse. Paul said, you know, you gave to me physically, but my God, verse 19, he will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. My God will meet all my needs. What a promise. You want to talk about God's providence, right? You know, Paul said, you supplied my need, but guess what? God will supply all your needs. God, he never promised that he would supply all our greeds, right? We all have, I do, you know. But he had promised us that he would supply each one of our needs. And God doesn't lie. You know, may not come in the time that we expect, but God is faithful. Hudson Taylor, if you read that little book of the missionary, Hudson Taylor, who went to China, he said, you know, when God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will never lack for God's supply. Think about that. When God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will never lack God's supply. Contentment comes from the richness of God. It comes from his providence. It comes from his power. It comes from his promises. And I want to have, you know, this single-minded that Paul presented to us here in Philippians 4, in Philippians. I want to have this submissive-minded given to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have this spiritual mind, and I want to have this mind that it is secure. And especially in the days that we are living where, you know, people are losing it. And it's so easy to lose it. Right? People are losing their minds. They're losing their marbles, you know. It's like you watch like everywhere, and it's like you go like, what is going on? To have a secure mind, no matter what is going on around us, it is a gift from the richness that only comes from God's power, God's provision, and God's providence to each one of us. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have that secure mind. It's a blessing to get up on a Monday morning knowing that you have to go to the same workplace, facing the same people, dealing with the same circumstances. But you know what? You have a secure mind that comes from the Lord. You have perspective. You will be a blessing on Monday morning. You will be a blessing on Tuesday morning. You will be a blessing on Wednesday morning. Hump day, and you can be a blessing on hump day, right? You will be a blessing on Thursday, you know, Friday, Saturday. And you guys are always a blessing on Sunday morning. Let me tell you, you are a blessing. You are a beautiful church. Good News Church, it's a beautiful church. I love this little church. I love all of you. Thank you for the gift that you are to my life, specifically. And Rachel would say the same thing. Thank you so very much. So let's pray. Verse 20. We end with verse 20, which is like this. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. And that is good news for us today. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so very much for your presence here with us. Lord, what would we do without your word? And help us, Lord, every single day to draw on for you and your thoughts from your word, Father. Even maybe here today, we all came here and only you know what is going on through our minds and through our hearts. But Father, what an opportunity to leave out of this place here today with your thoughts, with your mind that brings peace, that brings power, that brings providence. So, Father, keep working in each one of our hearts If there is anything that we need to confess, to agree with you, we are wrong, you are right, we do it. Even right now, we say, Lord, please forgive me. I have been so full of myself. Please forgive me and help me to think with you. Help me to embrace the provision of love, of forgiveness, of peace, of provision that only comes from you. Lord, thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you for God's word. Thank you for God's people. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen.